did that sneeze make it on the air? Man, all of a sudden, just boom, just as the mic went up. Wouldn't that figure? The whole soy story, Dr. Kayla Daniel is on the phone with us, and we'll talk more with her in just a minute. In fact, if you want to be on the phone with her, be listening later on this hour, I'm going to go to the phones early. Gina, who is in charge of that end of the program, says they're hot. People are jumping. They want to talk. And so we'll open them up early to talk about their end of the whole soy story. And a lot of people listening to Coast are soy eaters. It's been an alternative food for a long time. Now mainstream food. And I can remember the night we had Dr. T. Colin Campbell on. What was it? Not quite a year ago, where Dr. Campbell was talking about touting the virtues of soy and being meat-free and dairy-free and how much he was depending on soy. And how many people called in during that show said, oh, yes, you know, no dairy, no meat for me. Well, maybe you got to read this book before you really are convinced you're doing your body any favors. Next, and we'll continue this conversation because all across North America, it's Saturday night, and this is Coast to Coast Live. My name's Ian Punnett. All right, Dr. Kayla Daniel, we'll get to your phone calls coming up in just a few minutes. However, why can't we say if you don't know that there's anything bad with it, maybe some of the what the soy industry has done is what they've been trying to do all along. I mean, by coming up with these meat substitutes, for example, unless you've analyzed them, maybe they actually are what the soy industry always hoped that they'd be able to come up with, a high protein, meat, a substitute without a lot of side effects. Where are you with that?
Well, there are a lot of side effects, and we hear so many reports from human consumers, and of course we have so many studies in the scientific literature to indicate why those things are happening. So the side effects we see most often have to do with the thyroid, but also the reproductive system, the libido. There are some instances of cognitive decline as people are getting older and many, many problems.
Okay. Cognitive decline because they've been eating more soy.
Right. Adults who ate more soy in midlife have shown to have more senility in their old age. And when they've done autopsies, they have shown atrophied brains.
Is that from lack of protein that was substantial protein, like animal protein? Is that the claim?
The evidence suggested is those soy estrogens, the isoflavones that are the culprit there.
Okay. Now, what about like 6 ounces of tofu, 6 ounces of beef, 6 ounces of chicken? If you're talking tofu, and you said that wasn't as bad, right, as other soy products?
It's not nearly as bad as some of the modern newfangled products that involve highly industrialized processing methods with high temperature, high pressures, chemical solvents, and so forth.
Okay, so let's just say that then 6 ounces of tofu, 6 ounces of chicken, 6 ounces of beef, they aren't half a dozen of one, six of the other?
Well, no, but first of all, I would say that I would prefer that people eat free-range poultry and grass-fed beef and avoid the supermarket varieties of those.
Okay, all right, now so, we've done that. So then between that and the tofu, what's wrong with the tofu?
The problem with the tofu is that it contains the plant estrogens.
Okay.
And they can affect thyroid function, reproductive health, brain health. The tofu also contains something called phytates that interfere with mineral absorption, protease inhibitors that make it hard to digest, and oxalates that can cause problems, reproductive problems in women called vulvodynia. A lot of anti-nutrients and toxins in the tofu.
So yes. I can't get vulvodynia. I don't have to worry about that one.
No, you don't.
That's the one I don't have to worry about getting.
But you would have to worry about kidney stones, and the oxalates in the tofu would contribute to kidney stones.
But why not beef or chicken to kidney stones? I mean, honestly, if it's free-range chicken, for example, or, you know, grass-fed beef, then would we not – I mean, are there no side effects to the chicken and the beef that would compare to the side effects from the tofu?
Well, there aren't oxalates in the chicken and the beef. Oxalates are high in foods like spinach and rhubarb and peanuts and soy. So that's a plant protein problem.
And why shouldn't we be eating a lot of spinach?
We can certainly eat some spinach, most of us. But the problem with soy is that most people are more likely to eat an excessive amount of soy than they ever are to eat an excessive amount of spinach. I mean, people don't eat spinach three times a day every day. And we do have people who are drinking soy milk with every meal. They're snacking on soy nuts. They're eating veggie burgers. They're eating a lot of soy.
And they're told, if they're women with PMS or looking at menopause, they're told that this is going to save them. To start drinking and eating more soy now means they'll have to use fewer pharmaceuticals in the future.
That's what they're being told. But the United States Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality came up with a study last September where they looked at all of the studies on soy and menopause specifically, and they said the studies were inconsistent and contradictory, of poor design and too short durations. So they really said this doesn't pan out.
Now, why doesn't the government stop them then? If there's nothing to base the health claims that they make on soy, even in some cases right on the label of these products, if there's nothing to base it on, then why isn't the government coming and saying, no, you can't say that?
The FDA is very much in bed with big business. And that's what so many people don't seem to understand having to do with soy as a health food. They understand that the FDA was corrupt in terms of approving Vioxx, but what they fail to understand is that the same FDA that gave us Vioxx and gave us aspartame and other unhealthy, dangerous products is the FDA that approved a health claim for soy in 1999.
Okay, 1999, as recent as 1999?
November 1999. However, as of this January, the American Heart Association has come out and said that soy does not lower cholesterol, soy does not prevent heart disease, and that there's no basis for that health claim. So we're working to have that removed from the labels of packages.
Might as well have a steak.
Exactly.
Okay. And that's interesting. That's a development, because if you asked 9 out of 10 people on the street, they will tell you that soy is better for you, even if they don't eat it, that they believe that soy would be better for them. They just don't like it. And so, I mean, it's sort of in the back of everybody's minds. It certainly was in the back of mine when I gave up all, you know, meat and except for fish, and I ate soy almost exclusively, maybe 2 or 3 times a day. Now, you mentioned the soy milk. I never got into that. I could never get over the taste. Hated it. My kids kind of like the vanilla soy milk, and they were drinking that for a while. I'm glad that was a fad that ended in my house. I hated to see that in the fridge. What's wrong with the soy milk?
People don't understand that soy milk was never used traditionally in Asia, that the first references to soy milk historically were 1866, so it's a very recent product. And it became more popular in Asia in the 1920s and 1930s, but that was because of Seventh-day Adventist missionaries from America. And very few people realize that. They think that soy milk, because it's something that you could conceivably make in your own kitchen, is something that has been drunk for many thousands of years, and that's just not true.
Well, why would Seventh-day Adventist missionaries be exporting soy milk? I don't understand that.
Well, they were over in Asia trying to help people, and with the best of intentions, they started these factories to make soy milk in order to help people who were starving and otherwise needed help. And their intentions were very good. But what I'm trying to point out is this wasn't something that was native to Asia. It was something the Seventh-day Adventist missionaries from America started to promote to Asians.
Well, what is soy milk then?
Well, it's basically a byproduct of tofu manufacture. And now it's made as a product in its own right.
And is it the watery, soupy stuff that sits outside of the tofu square?
No, that would be the whey.
Okay, that's the whey. So where does the soy milk come out of tofu?
Well, it's part of the process before they start to coagulate it with either magnesium salts or calcium salts. Even so, I mean, soy milk is not the worst product that is out there by any means. But the reason I'm so concerned about soy milk is the fact that there are a whole lot of people who are drinking so much of it. And that's the biggest problem. We hear of people who are drinking soy milk for breakfast, soy milk for lunch, soy milk for snacks, and maybe they're mixing it with soy protein powders for shakes or whatever. And it's in addition to the problems with the soy estrogens in that soy milk, most of the products out there in the marketplace have a lot of sugar. And the supplements that are added to it to make it compete with dairy products are not high-quality supplements. They even use D2, vitamin D2, instead of vitamin D3 in soy milk.
Well, so soy milk, then, it sounds like you really are manufactured. It's not natural. Soy milk is just is like a manufactured. It almost sounds more like Nestle's Quick than it does like, you know what I mean? It doesn't sound like something where you just have soy and then you take the milk off of it and you go sell the milk and it's an all natural. They're manufacturing it like you'd be manufacturing, you know, Doritos or something.
Well, it is a big business, and people have this idea about soy products being natural and whole and wonderful, and maybe it started out like that with some hippies and their cottage industries, and those people were doing their processing with the finest of intentions. But what we've got now is a big business, and most of the companies like Silk have been bought up by the big American corporations. I mean, Silk is owned by Dean Foods.
Well, that's perfect, because at the same time they're touting that milk is better for you on one channel, Dean Foods could be touting that Silk is better for you on another, and they get you either way.
Well, what people don't understand is that the soy milk producers are the same ones who are also producing dairy. They're not competitors. They're all together.
And they're just like saying, well, hey, if you don't want to drink this, drink, you know, our other product over here. So, I mean, you mentioned the sugars. How much sugars are in these products?
It varies, but it can be quite a lot. And the manufacturers have found that the acceptability of their products depend a great deal on how much sugar there's in those. So look at all the major brands, and they're loaded with sugar.
All right. And then we were talking about the soy in the form of tofu before. Does your body break it down like it would chicken or beef? If you're having tofu, it's just the same as though you're having chicken or beef? Or does your body react differently to the tofu, to the actual composition of the tofu?
It definitely reacts differently, because the tofu contains protease inhibitors that make it hard to digest the protein. And we don't have protease inhibitors in the beef or the chicken. So when your body gets tofu, what happens is it's getting the protein that's in the soy, and yes, there's plenty of protein there, but it also comes with this set of protease inhibitors that interfere with the protease that your body needs to break down and digest that protein in the tofu.
So it comes with the protein, but it comes with something that also keeps your body from absorbing the protein.
Digesting it. And that is why so many people report digestive distress when they eat a lot of soy. And what we have with most of us, if we eat a little tofu once in a while, the pancreas will work overtime, produce extra protease, and boom, there's no problem. But if day after day we're eating that tofu, the pancreas gets very tired. And can't keep up, and we see a lot of digestive problems, pancreatitis, and other problems.
Do you see pancreatitis more with people who eat a lot of tofu?
Yes, we do.
Statistically?
There's been studies. Statistics on pancreatitis.
Okay. But anecdotally, there are more people who are reporting it.
Yes, and we do have many, many studies having to do with protease inhibitors and animals of many different species, and including the human animals, so we can see, you know, why we are getting these anecdotal reports. There's no doubt about that.
All right, back to the big tofu money. What do we call that? Big tofu, big soy, I guess we call it. We call the other ones big tobacco or big food or whatever. This is big soy. So at what point did tofu or soy products start becoming a corporate product? And what was the corner that was turned on that?
I'd say it really started about 20 years ago. That's when it started to get big, and in the last decade, it's gotten bigger and bigger.
And we see products like these soy, you know, like Rice Dream ice cream, replacement, or Tofu-y ice cream. Are any of these better than regular ice cream?
Well, it depends. Some people are simply not able to tolerate dairy products, and there's a lot of reasons for that, and they're looking for icy and creamy substitutes. And so in has come products like Tofu-y and the various soy ice creams and Rice Dream products and so forth. Now, the soy products, they do have those anti-nutrients that interfere with mineral absorption and protein digestion. They do come with those estrogens, and they're not healthy products. That's the bottom line.
Okay, so other than people who are lactose intolerant, there is no health benefit per se, because in a lot of cases that it's still pretty fatty. I remember when I was staying away from dairy for a while, I was looking at the fat content for a lot of these ice cream replacement products, and the fat content was just as high as the ice cream.
Yes, I wouldn't be so concerned about the fat content with the soy products. If they're the whole soybean products, the fat is actually not dangerous, but the fat, when it's turned into something like vegetable oil or partially hydrogenated soybean oil, that is a problem.
But didn't the Tofu-y people get in trouble because there was no actual tofu in the tofu?
Yes, they did. There's soy protein isolate, and there's so many strange ingredients, unpronounceable ingredients. I think there's a good reason that they have it in very, very small print going around the top of the carton.
Again, big business got behind this in the sense that they started seeing, well, there's a market, kind of a health food market, upscale market for this, and they start appealing to the boomers, hey, if you want to live longer, you know, be like the hippies that you remember and eat more tofu. What's their profit margin on this? As opposed to, like, say, 6 ounces of beef. Any idea what the profit margin is for 6 ounces of tofu?
The profit margins on the soy products are much, much higher than with animal products, and that's why the companies that do manufacture the dairy products and animal products, beef products and so forth, are moving into the soy business because the profit margin is so high. It's the same with anything that comes in a package that's heavily processed. People are paying a lot of money for that processing. There's really only so much money you can make from a product like butter or eggs, but you can make so much more money on soy products.
Okay. So let's just, before we go to the phones, they're coming up. Let's just run down the list. Soy beans in general don't have the legacy that we in the West were led to believe it had as a main staple of the Eastern diet responsible for them living much longer than us, right?
That's right. Myth. American corporations see Asia as a huge untapped market, and DuPont and other corporations are setting up factories over there. It's become a huge business selling the Asians their natural heritage.
Okay, selling them on what they hadn't been wanting to eat for a long time and telling them that it's better for them. Do they tell the Asians that this is what they're eating in the West, and if they want to compete with the West, they're supposed to eat soybeans?
Well, I don't think so, but they're certainly promoting the idea of them eating more of what they're telling them is their own natural heritage.
Okay. So it doesn't have a real natural heritage. Soy milk is a recent creation, and it's kind of a byproduct of the tofu-making process. The protease inhibitors end up making it difficult for your body to break it down and actually get to the proteins that are in many of these manufactured soy products. Soy milk is filled with so much sugar that it really isn't any healthier for you, and it can come along with any number of other products, including plant estrogens, which increase any number of problems for both women and for guys. And for years was used as a way of lowering your libido. Soybeans produce gas, and I know I'm leaving a lot of other stuff out, but it's all in the book, The Whole Soy Story. summing it up there with Dr. Kayla Daniel and getting your calls, your questions, your comments next on Coast to Coast Live. This is Ian Punnett. We're talking about Big Bean. That's what we're going to call it. Big Bean, the soybean industry. The people who want to find a way to make as much money as they can off soybeans. So you can have soybean plastic, soybean fuel. And the same thing that's being used for that could easily be made into ice cream. And the cup that holds the ice cream. And more importantly, into other products, which we are being told every day are supposedly better for us. But are they? And the research just isn't there. That, according to the Whole Soy Story, Dr. Kayla Daniel is with us. And before we go to the phones, and by the way, the phones are like blistering hot. Everybody's talking soybeans coming up. Would you say that what the soybean industry tells us about the health benefits of soy, would you go so far as to say that's a lie?
I think some of the people actually believe it, or they certainly want to believe it. But they have designed so many studies to come out with the result that soy will cure this and cure that. And the reality is, if you look at their studies carefully, that it not only does not prove that, but there are many risks that one finds.
And again, for some people who can't say eat meat, absolutely can't. Their bodies can't digest meat. Tofu is going to be an option for people who can't have dairy. Tofu-y or, you know, silk or other things might be an option. But what you're saying is, by and large, people should stop eating soy products under the pretense that they will live better and live longer.
Absolutely. And for people who cannot tolerate dairy or who choose not to eat meat, there are many, many better options.
Okay. Now, again, this is just merely theoretical, but just out of curiosity, if you had to have a snack food, somebody said you must eat a snack food, and you had your choice between a bowl of barbecued flavored soy nuts or Doritos, which one would you eat?
I think I would fast.
You have to have one. I'm not letting you out. You have to have one. What would you have?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think I'd do the Doritos just because okay. The soy nuts would taste so bad.
All right, we'll come back. The Whole Soy Story and your calls next on Coast to Coast Live. This is Ian Punnett. The Whole Soy Story, Dr. Kayla Daniel. Let's go to the wild card line first, where Ben is holding on Coast to Coast Live. Ben, you're talking with Dr. Daniel.
Hello. It's nice to speak with you guys.
And to you.
I was asking about the, well, I had a couple questions, but first one is about a vegetarian diet. I make soy milk, and I eat the beans whole, but I was wondering what she recommends for a vegetarian diet.
Eat the bean whole?
Yeah, I put it in like oatmeal with raisins, and I mean, I like the way it tastes. I was raised a vegetarian, so I basically just buy dried beans and then soak them and cook them like that.
Okay, Dr. Daniel?
I would first of all recommend that Ben switch to soy products such as miso and tempeh in preference to the dried beans being soaked and cooked because the fermenting process that would make miso would deactivate a lot of the phytates that block mineral absorption and the protease inhibitors that make it hard to digest and just make it a healthier soy product. If you are a vegetarian who does include dairy products, I would recommend raw dairy products. And there's a growing movement across the United States to get safe, clean, healthy, certified raw dairy products. And those do support health. And I would also recommend eggs from free-range hens, and they would be on some vegetarian diets.
But the key part there was about the beans. He eats the whole beans, and you go into a long part about that in the book.
Well,
difficult to digest. They're the ones that are biggest gas producers.
They can be. They have to be cooked and cooked and cooked, and still there's some problems with that as a product. I'd certainly recommend switching to miso soup or tempeh or some of those other soy products as being a healthier choice.
International line, Jacob on Coast to Coast Live for Dr. Daniel. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yes, good evening to you both. You really raised a few alarm bells in my case. My mother was lactose intolerant, and she would eat soy milk on a regular basis every day in her cereal. But that was basically her consumption. She would also consume some tofu with me so from time to time. You know, we would eat it with vegetables or whatever. But she passed away recently from pancreatic cancer. When you talked about
pancreatitis.
Right. Yeah, pancreatitis, that's right. Is there anything in the literature that connects pancreatic cancer with soy consumption, first of all?
There is a big connection between pancreatic disease and the protease inhibitors that we find in soybean. And it may not be coincidental that as soy consumption has increased, pancreatic cancer rates have also increased, and we just need to see more research on that. But there's an abundant amount of literature on protease inhibitors causing problems to the pancreas that can lead to pancreatic cancer.
Jacob, does that help?
Yes, but just one more point, if I may. In my case, I consume a small amount of tofutti for dessert once every day or once every other day. And on a regular basis, every day, a little bit of soy milk added to animal milk, like cow milk or goat milk. Is that problematic?
For healthy people, a little soy once in a while is not a problem, but I would not think that there's any benefit there to it. Mm-hmm. And there could be some risks depending on your health, your situation, and how much you're really eating.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jacob. Let's go to Rachel, east of the Rockies, for Dr. Kayla Daniel, the whole soy story. Soy is all the rage. It's in every product, it seems like, that's coming out these days. But the health benefits are doubtful. Rachel, where are you with? You have a question for Dr. Daniel?
I have a couple of questions. I hope I can get through them before my phone goes dead.
Well, let's get your best one first and see what happens.
Does she know if these soybeans are genetically modified?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Dr. Daniel, on the GM beans.
Yes, I hear from so many people that they're eating only organic soybeans, and the assumption is that the GM beans are the ones that are causing all the problems. And the truth is that there's antinutrients and toxins and plant estrogens in all soybeans, whether they're organic or GM. Now, if you do want to eat soy despite all the information I'm giving you, it's certainly advisable to eat organic as opposed to the GM beans, because the GM beans are so much worse in so many ways, more anti-nutrients, more toxins, and of course terrible for the environment. But organic is not safe. So,
you had another question, Rachel?
I don't intend to eat any soybeans with that, but I don't think if people want us to eat healthy, does she know that 80% of our food supply is genetically altered?
I imagine she's not unfamiliar with that. She's talked about buying organic whenever possible. And you do have to go out of your way to buy organic or to even try to find, right, non-altered stuff.
You can't buy seeds anymore. They've taken over the seed company, and all our vegetable seeds have been organically, modified with genes. I live in Kansas, and there's a company that's trying to woo, I suppose, the agricultural colleges to grow rice that has been mixed with human genes.
Get out.
I'm not kidding you. It was in our Grass and Grain, an article.
Rice mixed with human genes?
Yes.
I told
my son that, and he said, well, I can only hope that it doesn't grow hair.
What would we call that? Condoleezza rice? Jerry rice? That's really weird. Thanks, Richard. I didn't know that. What would they do that for? Dr. Daniel, have you heard about that?
I haven't heard about that. I'm very concerned about the GM products, and I certainly advise against them. And we can get seeds that are not hybrid and not GM, and we do need to get them from some of those heritage seed companies. But, you know, as with all the rest of the foods in our diet, we have to go way out of our way to get the right seeds, to get the right foods.
I got to find out more about the rice human gene splitting on that. And see the it's like from the plate of Dr. Moreau. But all right, let's go to west of the Rockies. Patsy is hanging on for Dr. Daniel. Go ahead, Patsy.
Hi, Dr. Daniel. I have no thyroid at all. I have to take a massive dose of replacement hormone, and the soy kills my pill and knocks me out. And I've been through this now for, what, 7 or 8 years? All the food producers know me on a first-name basis.
Well, what do you, so you eat food,
I
you
am
eat soy products?
I'm soy-free.
Oh, you're soy-free.
I am soy-free.
But anytime you eat soy, it knocks you out, you say?
Yes. And if it's not on the label, I can tell you it's got soy because it knocks me out.
Well, that's interesting.
And I bought some canola, which don't ever trust Canadian products.
Why? You can't say that. Those tasty Canadians.
Too, because, huh?
Those then, tasty Canadians. How could you say that about
that? I'm sorry about that, but I bought some canola mayo. And it, if I eat it at night, I'm hungover bad the next day. So I called them, and they argued with me. If you get a note from your doctor, we'll investigate. They're investigating.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Patsy.
And
an interesting thought.
Frito-Lay makes soy-free. My gynecologists don't like the soy, and it will come through if they feed their cows soy. It will come through the milk and the cheese. I can tell you because it knocks me out.
All right. Thank you, Patsy. Thank you so much for that. Let's go first-time caller line where Allison is on Hornsby Island, B.C. Allison?
Hi.
You're talking with Dr. Kayla Daniel. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Kayla. I've been eating soya for 35 years. I've been almost vegan, very little dairy, no meat, fish, or eggs. My older sister has the same diet, and she... Her two daughters have five-year-old children, four children around five, six between them, and they eat the same diet, and they're all healthy. And my husband, who is 80, he's been on my diet for 15 years, and he passed his, general doctors where they, they look at all your whole body, how
you're physical,
you are, eyes, everything. Yes, and they couldn't believe how healthy he was. And he's a workaholic. He's always working. He loves that. He eats more dairy than I do. I eat very, very little. I'm practically vegan.
And so what you're saying is that in your experience, the soy hasn't had a problem, or in your sister's experience?
Well, no, but also in 1972, I got involved in a spiritual path where that diet was part of it. So I know thousands of people, I'm connected to them through meditation groups and that, and I have never heard of any serious problems with soya. I've heard of one young woman who grew up with it and had an allergy, and she could, because she grew up and she was with it and 20 years old, and she couldn't eat it anymore because she ate so much of it. That's all.
Well, that's interesting, and I think you'll find, I think you might find the book then especially interesting in light of how much you know about soy and how much you've experienced. You might be surprised at what the experiences are of others. It's a very well footnoted book, and there's a lot of research that's quoted in it. But let me ask you, Dr. Daniel, there wasn't a question there in that. I mean, you heard her giving her testimony on the value of soy. Aren't there like that just thousands of stories of people who eat soy and they never have a problem, right?
There are many stories of people who are happy with the soy in their diet and report good health. And we also have many, many stories of people who have developed many, many health problems. Basically, it's a matter of risk, not certainty, and I think people just need to know what the risks are so that they can evaluate the situation for themselves.
We'll go to the wild card line where Michelle is hanging on for Dr. Daniel. Michelle?
This is Michael.
Oh, Arizona. Michael. I wrote it down wrong. Michael, I'm so sorry. I scribbled it. So, Michael, go ahead.
Dr. Daniel? Are you familiar with the story that was going around that baby formula, which was made from soy, was like a birth control experiment, and they knew that it would feminize a certain aspect of society?
I've never heard this. What is this about? When did you hear this? Michael?
Well, it was on Tom Ballantyne. He's a health practitioner that's on the radio sometimes. I think he's the one that told the story at first. I was wondering if Dr. Daniel had heard anything about that, that they knew that it would feminize an aspect of the population and it was a birth control experiment.
Do you know anything about that, Dr. Daniel?
Well, what we do know is that birth control pills, according to investigations by toxicologists and according to the Swiss Federal Health Service, soy infant formula, baby on soy infant formula will receive the equivalent of 3 to 5 birth control pills every day. And that's a whopping amount of those estrogens. And, yes, it has feminizing effect on many boys, and it creates problems for girls as well. And soy infant formula is certainly the most dangerous form of soy foods because for a little baby, it's the only food they're getting. Then they're at an extremely vulnerable stage in their development, and those estrogens can interfere with reproductive system development and brain development. So there are definitely risks, and because of that, the Israeli Health Ministry has warned its citizens that babies should not get soy formula except as a last resort. The British Dietetic Association has said the same thing. The French Food Agency right now is starting to require food manufacturers to remove those plant estrogens from soy infant formula. So there's a lot of warnings out in many other countries, but not here in the United States. And we do need to protect those babies.
How do we define feminization here? I mean, is it a physical thing, or it's just suddenly little boys want to watch movies like Must Love Dogs or something? I mean, is there...
Well, the reports we get from pediatricians and through the literature has to do with boys who reach puberty and they have breasts and their penises don't grow and on a lesser level there are things like sperm count problems. So these are feminized little boys.
Let's go to Wildcard Line where Shane has a question or a comment for Dr. Kayla Daniel, the whole soy story. Shane, where are you with that?
Very confused. When I was a young man, cranberries gave you cancer, then milk gave you cancer. Lately, I've been told that you shouldn't eat Mexican fruits or vegetables because they use human waste as fertilizer. Now soy is bad for you. I'm going to give up eating.
And just become a breatharian. Just breathe air and just get your nutrients.
I mean, Atkins had a diet. He died of a heart problem.
Right.
Carbohydrates are good for you. They're bad for you. Fat diets are bad for you, good for you.
That's a great point.
And now this fine doctor comes on and tells me soy is bad for you.
That's it.
How about leaves off the trees? Are they any good?
Dr. Daniel, what do you do with that?
Well, what we need to do is eat the foods that Mother Nature designed for us, and that means real foods, whole foods, slow foods. We have to stop eating foods that come in packages, heavily processed foods, fast foods. We have to start thinking locally, growing our own food, supporting local farmers, and not bringing food all the way from Mexico to New York State or wherever you live. So these are some of the answers. And when we eat real foods, whole foods, and slow foods, we're not going to have all of these health problems. Soy is a highly packaged food.
I want to come back to you on that. I want to come back to you on that coming up in just a second. I want to challenge you a little bit on that and see where your research is, and we'll get another round of calls next. The whole soy story, Dr. Kayla Daniel. It's Coast to Coast Live. My name's Ian Punnett.